I've been trying to discipline myself this past week. Stay at home, but not all day. Go for a walk at least once. Get some exercise, some fresh air. And what's it like out there? Markt und Straßen stehen verlassen. Still erleuchtet jedes Haus. Sinnend gehe ich durch die Gassen. Alles sieht so... Well, festlich is not the word, is it? Alles sieht so reglos aus. Alles sieht so leblos aus. With apologies to Joseph von Eichendorff for changing the line there, the last line of his poem. Streets and markets are deserted, hushed the glow round each abode. How still and lifeless I reflected, musing as I went my road. Life hasn't exactly ceased, but it has ground more or less to a halt. Cafes and restaurants, churches and all places of worship, in short, almost all places where people might gather, are closed. Our whole town, our whole country, our whole continent seems abandoned. The Lord said to me, "Mortal man, can these bones come back to life?" I replied, "Sovereign Lord, only you can answer that." Things were similarly desolate in Ezekiel's day. The grand nation, Israel, is in exile in Babylon. Jerusalem has been sacked and the people scattered. The temple, the focal point of their religion, lies abandoned and in ruins. Prayers no longer sound from within its walls. It's a depressing scenario of a community, a nation that has lost its soul, that no longer holds on to a future vision, and that we know is when the people perish. They have simply given up. Something curious has happened here. It's that dangerous transition that the American writer Edmund White describes when he talks of hope that has ceased to be anticipation and has retreated into nostalgia. No longer looking to the future, perhaps because we are simply unable to picture it, to visualize it, but instead hearkening back to the past, which we remember, which we know, which is familiar. If only things were back to normal again, if only we could return to our trusted routine. I suggested that we regard last week's gospel story of the healing of a man born blind as a parable on the fragility of human community, on how easily community can be broken or destroyed, and on what kind of counteractive intervention, such as that of Jesus, is needed to build and restore community. Them bones, them bones, them dry bones, them bones, them bones, them dry bones, them bones, them bones, them dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. One way of looking at our reading for today, which is Ezekiel's famous story of the Valley of Dry Bones, is to see in it another parable, a parable of hope. Hope in a desolate or hopeless situation. The passionate vision of a new and unknown future, rather than fond, sentimental remembrance of a familiar past. For the Sovereign Lord's answer is not something God says, but something God does. To Ezekiel's amazement and to ours. God blows life back into that litter of parched and scattered bones, that mere parody of nationhood and community, and brings them alive, brings them vibrantly alive. Behold, I make all things new. And the secret ingredient is God's Spirit. A wonderful threefold wordplay in Hebrew on the word ruach, which means wind, breath, spirit. I encourage you, in fact, to read the passage again at your leisure. Go to Bible Gateway and see the various versions. And every time you come across the word spirit or breath or wind, remember it's the same word. That way you might sense even more of the uplifting amazement Ezekiel felt. But whatever we make of it, irrefutable historic truth or solacing, hope-filled legend, this story also has the power to revive us, to bring us back to life. For it points us beyond any and all desolate, still and lifeless nows to a vibrant future we are only too blind to see. Or, if you simply want to condense today's reading into one word, that word is hope. It is a mark of us Christians that still we manage to hope where doing so seems pointless. The resurrection at the core, the center, the heart of our faith, and we perhaps have forgotten it because we're not going to church, we're not able to, we are heading towards Easter. The resurrection at the core, the center, the heart of our faith is the most extreme expression of such hope in hopelessness. At a time when we are being bombarded daily with input from serious-looking, serious-sounding experts whose authority we hesitate to call into question, holding on to that hope may seem particularly foolish, particularly foolhardy. Well, of course it is, but it is not irresponsible, far from it. It's exactly this attitude that moved the Apostle Paul to talk in his first letter to the Corinthians of the foolishness of faith. And he meant that not as an insult, but as a huge compliment. The German theologian Jürgen Moltmann writes this in his marvellous book, The Experiment Hope. If we begin to read the Bible as the book of God's hope, then we will find that it is a highly revolutionary and subversive book. The hope about which it speaks is valid for the hopeless and not for the optimists. It is valid for the downtrodden and the insulted, so that they will raise up their heads. It is valid for the oppressed, so that they will learn to walk uprightly, and all this as it will be in heaven, so already here on this earth. As the book of the promises of God, the Bible is not a document of an ancient religion, but still has its time ahead of it. It points beyond itself into the future, which does not yet fill our present. These are powerful and, for me, moving words. But I want to close this reflection with perhaps the best summary I know of this foolish faith, this defiant hope. It's attributed to the 18th century Welsh preacher Edmund Jones. In the midst of hunger and war, we celebrate the promise of plenty and peace. In the midst of oppression and tyranny, we celebrate the promise of service and freedom. In the midst of doubt and despair, we celebrate the promise of faith and hope. In the midst of fear and betrayal, we celebrate the promise of joy and loyalty. In the midst of hatred and death, we celebrate the promise of love and life. In the midst of sin and decay, we celebrate the promise of salvation and renewal. In the midst of death on every side, we celebrate the promise of the living Christ. And a PS in closing, in really closing. If you want to follow up on this foolishness of faith, this hope for the hopeless theme, you might like to read the long gospel reading for this Sunday, almost the whole of John chapter 11, from verse 1 all the way down to verse 45. Look it up on Bible Gateway as well. About people saying, if only. About a hopeless situation. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. The King James Bible has a vivid translation of verse 39. He stinketh. It's a story too of the revolutionary and subversive hope to which in Christ we hold at all times and under all circumstances.